Good morning. About a month ago in Normandy, France, the leaders of the Allied countries from World War II and some of the soldiers made a pilgrimage over to Normandy to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the invasion of Normandy by the Allied forces. And when you think about that battle, that was the turning point, or almost signaled the end of Germany's Germany's like battles in World War II. And I couldn't imagine those soldiers on that boat, on those boats that day. They were going to storm a beach. The Germans were there waiting for them. The Germans had something called the Atlantic Wall built up, and they were ready for our soldiers to come. So those soldiers were going into a great unknown that day. They knew that there was a pretty good chance that they would either get hurt or killed that day. So can you imagine, as they were on those boats going across the Atlantic Ocean, getting ready for those doors to drop and them having to go on to the beach and face the Germans that day? Can you imagine what they were going through? They were going into a great unknown that day. I found these two quotes from a Lieutenant Colonel Robert Wolverton, and I can imagine there was probably a lot of prayers being said that day by the men on those boats. There was probably a lot of reflection and contemplation about what they were about to do. And here is a quote from Lieutenant Colonel. Men, I am not a religious man. I don't know your feelings in this matter. But I am going to ask you to pray with me for the success of the mission before us. And while we pray, let's get on our knees and look, and not look down, but look up with faces raised to the sky, so that we can see God and ask his blessing in what we are about to do. So this Lieutenant Colonel, I'm not a religious man, but I know we need God right now. And he asked his men to pray. And it was beautiful how he described, let's look up and see our Father. Let's not pray with heads bowed, but let's look up and see him. And then this was his prayer. God Almighty, in a few short hours, we will be in battle with the enemy. We do not join battle afraid. We do not ask favors or indulgence, but ask that if you will, use us as your instruments for the right and aid in returning peace to the world. What a beautiful, heartfelt prayer for a man that wasn't very religious. And I love the one phrase in there, if you will. Can you think of another prayer that was very famous to us when someone was facing their death and they said to the Lord, if it's your will? Jesus in the garden said basically the same thing, if it is your will, Lord. So this Lieutenant Colonel led his men in this prayer. He knew they needed God that day, and probably many other men were praying and thinking and asking God to get them through that battle. Each day in our lives as Christians, we go into the great unknown. Maybe not a battle against the Germans, but we face unknown situations every day, just like what happened in our church. I'm sure Harold was not expecting to go home today, not feeling well, or not expecting to be in the hospital on Wednesday with a seizure. So every day of our lives, we face uncertainty. And what we're going to look at is our Christianity in times of uncertainty. As we go through life, there's many milestones that we face. And throughout different cultures, different religions, there's usually some type of blessing that goes along with these milestones. The birth of a child You ask for a safe delivery. You ask for a healthy child. You ask for guidance for the parents. If the child isn't going to be healthy, you ask, help us, Lord, to make their lives the best that we can. When you become a Christian, you get the prayers of the church, because that is a giant step. That is a giant milestone in your life. It's something that's not going to be, not that should not be taken lightly. Graduation, those baccalaureate services in college and in high school, asking blessings upon the graduates as they go into the next part of their lives. Marriage, you think of the big marriage ceremonies we have. And I found this traditional Irish wedding blessing I thought was very appropriate. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rain fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. What a beautiful blessing. And that's because as you start into that marriage, that is a great unknown. How are you two going to get along? How's it going to go between the two of you? Unfortunately, most of us, because of age or heredity, our bodies start to break down and we start to face some health issues. How many times have we heard prayers in this church for people that are sick? How many times have you said prayers by yourself for people that are sick? And as Roger said, the greatest unknown we're ever going to face, and we're all going to face it, is death. We don't get out alive. And that's the great unknown. We ask God to please take care of our loved one. Have mercy on them. May they rest in peace. We also pray for those that are left behind, because they're starting a new chapter of their lives without the loved one. So throughout these milestones of life, cultures and people know the importance of having God there. They know the importance that they have to ask for God's help during these times. I want you to think about when you're faced with a foreign situation or something you're unsure of, what is your first reaction? We would all love to say prayer. I bet you that would be what we would all love to say. And if that is your first reaction, you are a very mature Christian and a little envious of you. But sometimes during times of uncertainty, depending upon what it is, I thought of three ways that we react. Some of us might start a scouting report about the situation. I'll explain that a little bit. Some of us want to go back to the past before that situation. We think things in the past might have been easier. Or some of us, these uncertain situations, those are times of excitement for us. We love to see what's going to happen with this situation. And I think depending upon what the situation is, our reaction might be different. So creating a scouting report. Whenever we're faced with an unknown situation, a lot of us start to gather information. Whenever Nathan tore his labrum, first off, we had to figure out what a labrum is and where it was. So we had to figure out where that was. So we went on the internet. We started looking up stuff. We said, how long is it going to take to heal? What's the procedure? You know, all that stuff. We read articles about it. We asked the doctor, what's going to go on with this? And then we asked some other people that had shoulder surgery. What did they do? What was your recovery? How long were you in the sling? What was PT like? All that stuff. Have you ever found yourself doing that? Or maybe whenever you're going for a job interview, you start to research a company, find out what their mission statement is, figure out what they're going, what they're all about, what type of people they hire. Are you qualified? etc. And whenever we gather our scouting report, there might be some different reactions. Our confidence grows. Hey, you know what? I feel good about going into this situation now. We feel prepared. Okay, I have all this information. I know this is going to happen. I know this about the company. I'm ready to go. Sometimes questions arise. Not to put Nathan on the spot again, but he was supposed to have his tonsils out coming up on Tuesday. So this was like going to be his summer of surgeries. But when we started to do a little bit more investigation, Nathan's like, I think I'm going to push that tonsil surgery off for a little bit. Some questions started to arise about, you know, like, because we started to actually hear some bad things about tonsil surgeries in adults. So some questions were brought up. And then sometimes we respond after we found out all this information with worry or panic. In Numbers, God told the Israelites, I want you to create a scouting report of the new land that you're going into. Now, God already knew everything about Cana, but he wanted the Israelites to see for themselves. So the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Cana, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. When Moses sent them to explore Cana, he said, go up through the Negev and into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. So this is a pretty specific scouting report that Moses instructed these leaders to go create, because they wanted the Israelites to feel pretty good as they were about to go into the land of Cana. Here were the findings. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruits. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of the Anak there. Anak were very big people, like giants, it's said. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. So that was their findings. Some good, some bad findings. And here are the reactions. First off, you have Caleb. He said, Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. He was all fired up. He was ready to go in there. He knew God was on their side. Let's go take that land. The other men were not quite as sure. But the men who had gone with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of the Anak come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. So two totally different reactions to the same scouting report. Let's go get them, according to Caleb. The other men are like, whoa, we can't do it. So we have to look at those men. I'm going to guess that Caleb had a great faith in God. And I'm going to guess that the other men, not so much. So we have to ask ourselves, does our faith influence our reaction? The Israelites, they wandered in the desert for 40 years before reaching Cana. God got them through a lot of things during that time. He got them out of Egypt. First off, parting of the Red Sea. Wouldn't that have helped you to believe in God? He split a sea in two. That wasn't good enough. Then he fed them manna and quail because they were hungry. Then he had Moses hit a rock with a staff and water came out. God got them through a lot of trials. He told them, this is the land that you're going to inherit. Through all that, they still didn't trust him. Through all those things, they let that scouting report bring in panic and worry, and they wanted to get out of there. So we have to ask ourselves, when we're faced with a situation, are we like Caleb? God, I know you can get me through. Or are we like the other men and start to doubt God? Has God proven himself in our lives enough that we trust him and that we believe he can get us through whatever situation we face? Our second reaction might be wishing for the past. Have you ever said, oh, I long for the good old days? If you can find the good old days, let me know when they were. Because I think every days might not be as good as we think. Some people might say, I knew what was going to happen each day in the past. Yeah, when I was a 13-year-old at summertime, I got up, ate breakfast, maybe did some chores, played basketball, ate dinner, hung out with my friends, repeat every day. That's what I did in the summer, you know? We long for that time when we knew what was going on. And some of us feel if I go back to the past, things were better or easier back then. I chose 1968 because that's the year of my birth, 1968. I know probably none of you remember that year. You're all so young, right? So we had the space travel, I think, in the one corner. We had the Civil Rights March. I couldn't figure out who that group is. I think it's the Mamas and Papas. I'm not exactly sure. Mamas and Papas, right? California Dreamin', I guess that was their big song. You had the assassination of Martin Luther King. And then, of course, you had the ongoing Vietnam War. I don't know if 1968 was one of those good old days. Some excitement with the space program, some good music. But you had an assassination, you had the war going on, people fighting for their rights. Well, the Israelites, they wanted to go back. They wished for the past. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." What were they in Egypt? Slaves! They wanted to go back to that life. And if you think about it, 40 years, probably a lot of them might not have experienced Egypt because of lifespan. So there was probably a lot of them that really weren't in Egypt at that time. So they wanted to go back to a life that of either slavery or a life that they didn't know. And they thought it was going to be better for them. They must have really doubted the Lord at that time. But as humans, we know that time does not stand still. And we need to move forward also. As people, we are expected to grow and mature. What we do as 5 years olds is not going to be accepted as 20-year olds. We're expected to grow and mature. As Christians, the same thing. We are expected to grow and mature. I found this nice little cartoon of Noah's Ark. Now, Noah's Ark is a great teaching account. You go into like Christian stores, they have stuffed animals of all the different animals, the Ark. You could do a nursery in Noah's Ark and all that stuff. And it is a great teaching account. But some parts, at some point, a Christian has to move past the stuffed animals and figure out what did that story really mean. What is the real message behind Noah's Ark? And how do I apply it to my life? Or I just read this morning, David and Goliath. Great account of how David killed a giant with a slingshot and a stone. But what did that really mean? What is the message behind that story? So we're expected to grow and not look back as Christians. I found two examples of great growth demonstrated by Peter. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by my flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Jesus commended Peter on his growth and his announcing that he knew Jesus was the Messiah. Also in John 6, people were dropping away from Jesus. Stuff was getting too tough. They didn't like what they were hearing, and they moved away. On hearing this, many of his disciples said, this is hard teaching. Who can accept it? From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. They were fishermen, and in 2-3 years, they went from fishermen to believing that they are with the Messiah. What growth that they showed during that time with Jesus. In our journey, in our Christian journey, have we come to the place of full trust in God? Do we believe that God can get us through any situation, any time of uncertainty? Do we believe that He is the only way through that? And as we grow as Christians, are we willing to help others to grow also? Christianity is not about looking back. It's about moving forward in our relationship with God and helping others to do the same. Our last reaction, a chance for adventure. Sometimes when there is an unknown, we're sort of excited about it. What's going to happen now? As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he said he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Whenever Jesus called out to those men, their first reaction was to drop everything and to follow him. They didn't ask the questions, who is this man? Where are we going? How is my life going to change? What about my family or business? They didn't ask any of that stuff. They dropped their nets and they followed Jesus immediately. When we're called by God to go out and share our faith, what is our reaction? Those men that day, they dropped everything and followed God. No hesitation. When we're called and we're facing a time of uncertainty, is there hesitation in our faith? Do we lack confidence? You know, God, you're calling me to do this. I don't know my Bible real well. I don't know what to say. We sort of had that with Adele this morning. She didn't know what to say. Or are we excited to see what God can do through us? I know some people sitting here, they start Bible studies with people. They don't know what's going to happen, but they're excited to see what God's going to do through them. And probably there's a lot of rewards when the people they start studying with start showing up here in church with them. The apostles, just think of everything they got to witness because they said yes to Jesus' invitation. the miracles, the teachings. Do we trust God enough each day to say yes to His invitation and His offers? No matter what we face, yes, God, I believe in You. You're going to get me through. Do we believe God will guide us through those times when we are asked to share our faith? Believe me, I believe, because He gets me through this every time I'm up here. That's God is getting me through this every time I'm up here. Throughout the Bible, there are many verses of comfort and strength for those times when we face the unknown. Our scripture today, though I walk through the valley of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. How many times do you think that was said during D-Day when those guys were getting ready to get off of those boats? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Jesus is saying in Matthew 6, you're more valuable than nature. God takes care of nature. Don't worry. He's going to take care of you. And then in Matthew 28, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So whenever we're faced with times when our faith needs to be shared, Jesus is right there with us. He's giving us the confidence. He's giving us the words. He's giving us the guidance to help us through those times when we're asked to share our faith with other people. Throughout this sermon, I don't know if you caught it, I asked the same two questions three times. I don't know if you caught it or not. I asked, do you trust in God enough? And do you believe in God enough that He will get you through every situation? Whenever we're faced with unknown situations, we don't know what the outcome is going to be. Do we trust and do we believe? No matter what the scouting report tells us, do we trust, do we believe? Whenever we stop looking backwards and start going forwards, do we trust? Do we believe? And whenever we're faced with an exciting situation, do we trust and believe that God will get us through? God does not have to prove Himself to you anymore. Hopefully, we are at the point of trusting and believing in Him. The church at this time extends an invitation. If we can help you at all at this time, please come forward. If you would like to be immersed for the remission of your sins, you can come forward also at this time as we sing.